Hello, and welcome to another episode of Live Agelessly with Nurse Lori. I'm Nurse Lori, and thank you for joining me as we journey together to live agelessly. And as always, I'm so glad that you're here with me today, so thank you again for that. And if you'd like to help support the show, I would really appreciate it if you rate, review, or subscribe to my podcast. Strengthening our immune systems during this cold and flu season is very important. Our immune systems are constantly working, even when we're sleeping. It works 24/7 to identify and eliminate viruses and bacteria that can make us sick, and it's one of the most complex systems in our entire body. It's made up of organs and cells, including our skin, the corneas of our eyes, our respiratory system, gastrointestinal tract, and our lymphatic system. A poor diet, chronic stress, and lack of sleep, as well as certain medical conditions, can affect our immune systems. So how do we keep it strong and functioning optimally, especially during cold and flu season? Our bodies need to be strong to fight off viruses before they can make us sick. In this episode, I'm going to discuss a lot of things we can do right now to strengthen our immune systems, and then I'm going to discuss what to do in case you do end up getting a cold or the flu. But first, we're going to talk about how to strengthen. First, regular moderate intensity physical activity has been associated with reduced inflammation and stronger antiviral immune activity. What this means is that either being sedentary or overdoing it by overtraining, both of these things can weaken immune defenses and cause inflammation. I've always believed that doing everything in moderation is the healthiest way to be, whether it's exercise, eating, anything really. And there's evidence that suggests that exercise may also delay the effects of immune function decline in older people and help older people restore normal immune responsiveness. In a study, it observed that engaging in moderate aerobic exercise daily or almost daily lowers the risk of the common cold by approximately 40 to 50%. And if you do still end up getting a cold, the exercise is associated with a shorter duration of that illness. And one trial, it was a controlled trial. It included 115 overweight or obese sedentary women who were randomly assigned to an exercise group. One of the groups did 45 minutes of moderate intensity exercise 5 days a week, whereas the other group did only 45 minutes of stretching once per week. Both groups did this for an entire year. They did some research at the end of this in the final 3 months of this trial, and they found that the incidence of colds was 3 times higher in the stretching group that only did 1 day, 45 minutes a day, versus the exercise group that did 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And this is not to say that stretching isn't important, because it is, and we need to do it, but we just need to do it in addition to our moderate intensity exercise. We need to mix it up a bit. The next thing is sleep. Sleep is vital for healthy immune function, and impaired sleep can disrupt the balance between inflammatory and anti-infection immune activity. Even just one night of partial sleep deprivation raises our risk by 40% for contracting a virus the next day. And those who sleep just 6 hours or less per night have more than a fourfold higher risk of contracting a virus. Sleeping less than 7 hours per night, it is 3 times more likely to develop a cold or virus after being exposed, compared to the people that sleep 8 hours or more. They have a much higher protectiveness when coming into contact with a virus. I did an episode about sleep, episode 5, and I talk about it a lot more and about how to get a good quality night's sleep night after night. Chronic psychological stress also plays a part in immune function decline, and it actually raises the risk of an upper respiratory tract infection. This is where having a good social support system comes into play. When you have a good social support system and actually have anywhere between 3 to 5 people that you can call and count on when you're having a crisis, this actually reduces our stress, which in turn reduces the effect that it has on our immune function decline. One study evaluated stress based on recent stressful life events, such as the death of a spouse or a job loss, and then they exposed these volunteers to a cold-causing virus. Those with the higher stress levels developed more colds than those with the lower stress levels. And a few other things is being underemployed and unemployed were the stressors that were most closely correlated with a higher chance of developing a cold after being exposed to the cold virus. And on the other hand, they found having a larger and more diverse social network was associated with lower susceptibility to the common cold. And we all know how important a healthy diet is. A healthy diet that supplies adequate amounts of vitamins A, B complex, C, D, and E, as well as zinc, selenium, magnesium, iron, copper, and omega-3 fatty acids. These all support our normal immune function, and they act as a defense against respiratory viral infections like the common cold and the flu. And dietary fiber has been found to improve antiviral immune activity while mitigating the inflammatory response, and flavonoids from plant foods may have specific antiviral effects and may help reduce tissue-damaging oxidative stress and inflammation during the response to the actual infection. In fermented foods such as kefir, sauerkraut, cheese, kombucha, kimchi, and tempeh that supply probiotic strains, which also help by supporting a balanced immune response to influenza and cold viruses. And in addition to vitamin C, fruits, vegetables, and other plant foods provide fiber, polyphenols, carotenoids, and other phytochemicals. These nutrients support balanced immune activity and may have direct antiviral effects. Although whole foods are likely to be more beneficial, one study found that participants who supplemented with encapsulated fruit and vegetable extracts for 8 months had 20% fewer days with moderate to severe cold symptoms compared with the group that took the placebo. And you can get those vitamins at any health food store, either in capsules or powder that you can add to a smoothie. And also, poor nutritional status, whether from undernutrition or overnutrition, has been recognized for centuries as a factor linked to severe viral infections. And that is why it's very important that we eat a balanced and healthy diet. So let's talk about supplements you can take to prevent a cold or flu. First one is vitamin D. Vitamin D is going to modulate the immune system, and it does this by interacting with receptors on various types of immune cells. It actually activates our immune systems, and studies in adults and children show an association between higher vitamin D levels and less viral infections. It's important to have your blood levels of vitamin D checked before starting a supplement program, because we do not want to overdo it with vitamin D. Although it's rare, there is such a thing called vitamin D toxicity, and the main consequence of this toxicity is a buildup of calcium in our blood. And a buildup of calcium in our blood can cause nausea and vomiting, weakness, and frequent urination. But the even worse thing is it might lead to bone pain and kidney problems, such as the formation of kidney stones. You want your blood level, your optimal blood level of vitamin D to be anywhere between 50 and 70 ng per ml, and this is going to help boost our resistance to viral infections. Next one is probiotics. Probiotic supplements, especially the ones containing lactobacillus and bifidobacterium, have been found to reduce the incidence and severity of upper respiratory viral infections, including the cold and flu. Ginseng's another one. Ginseng extract has been shown to activate the antiviral immune response while also reducing the inflammatory response. And clinical trials suggest may lower the risk of flu and improve the immune response to the flu vaccine. Green tea is another good one. It's demonstrated year after year antiviral actions against the flu and other viruses. And green tea may help prevent the viral respiratory infections and may decrease flu-like symptoms by reducing inflammation. Elderberry extract, clinical research done on this does show that it's rich in anti-inflammatory and antioxidant polyphenols, which may in turn reduce flu symptoms and shorten the duration of the illness, but you have to start it within 48 hours from the onset of your first symptom. This is another one called N-acetylcysteine. And if you're at the store, you'll see it on the bottle. It says NAC. This is best known for its use as an antidote for acetaminophen toxicity. Like if you take too much Tylenol, this is the antidote that's going to help you not be toxic. But its ability to support the antioxidant systems and reduce oxidative stress by raising glutathione production, it gives it multiple potential uses in conditions related to infection, inflammation, stress, and aging. And research also suggests that it may have beneficial effects in treating the flu. For example, NAC inhibited viral replication in flu-infected cells from the lining of the lungs. They also did a study in mouse models that had the flu, and NAC actually decreased lung damage and increased survival. So you can see why this is an important supplement during this time of the year. And I also feel this is an extremely important supplement right now in the age of COVID, because what we don't want COVID to do is lead to lung damage. The next one is zinc. Zinc is very necessary for normal immune function. And an increased risk of infection is a hallmark of zinc deficiency. Almost everyone that ends up with a cold or with some kind of flu virus almost always has a deficiency of zinc. And in addition to its role in antiviral immune activity, zinc has direct antiviral actions against the flu and other common causes of upper respiratory tract infections, such as rhinoviruses, which lead to the common cold, and, of course, the flu. After all of this, if you do end up catching a cold or the flu, there are some things you can do right away that will help lessen your symptoms and shorten the duration of the illness. First thing you'll want to do is start taking some zinc, about 18.75 milligrams of zinc in the form of zinc acetate, and you'll want to take that about every 2 to 3 waking hours, up to 5 times a day, until the symptoms of your respiratory infection subside. Some people do get nauseous from zinc. If you find yourself getting a little nausea from it, cut your dosage in half, and if you still feel nauseous, cut it in half again, and you should be fine at that point. You'll want to take 1 probiotic capsule daily, and you want the probiotic to at least contain lactobacillus. The next thing you'll want to do is take black elderberry extract, and this can be in tablet form. You can chew one of these tablets, about 90 milligrams, up to 8 times a day for 5 days. And if you do take a capsule, you'll want to take a capsule containing 600 milligrams, and you can take that about 4 times a day, up to 5 days. The next thing you'll want to do is take lactoferrin, about 300 milligrams twice daily, and you want to take that in meals until your symptoms subside. And garlic, when you take this, should be taken with food to minimize stomach irritation. Vitamin D, if your level is not between 50 and 70, you'll want to start taking about 10,000 international units of vitamin D the first day and continue for 3 more days. Then reduce your dosage to about 2,000 to 5,000 international units each day. If you're already taking 2,000 to 5,000 international units, then you probably don't need to increase your intake. Melatonin. A lot of people take melatonin to try to get to sleep. It has so many more uses, and one of them is as an antiviral. So if you do feel something coming on, take anywhere from 3 to 50 milligrams at bedtime and do this for a few days until your symptoms subside. Vitamin C, you're going to want to take 6 to 8,000 milligrams of vitamin C in divided doses for up to 5 days and then continue with 1,000 milligrams 3 times daily after that. And do not delay implementing the above regimen, because once a respiratory virus infects too many cells, it replicates out of control and strategies like zinc won't be effective. The treatment must be initiated as soon as symptoms manifest to get the most relief the quickest. And please remember that before you start any new supplement or diet program, please consult your healthcare provider. So that's it for today's episode. To see transcripts from today's episode and previous episodes, simply go to my website, nurselaurie.com. Once there, you'll find the transcripts in my blog, and you can also find information about my coaching programs. If you have any questions, just send me an email. I would love to hear from you. And remember to live agelessly. Bye for now.